It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Well, folks, it is your old buddy Luke Clayton, and it's time for our weekly outdoor visit here on KETR. You know, we've been doing this now for over 6 years, just over 6 years. It's amazing how time flies, but in that course of time, we have covered the gamut, and we're still covering the gamut on outdoor topics. This week, we're going to shift things up a little bit. That's David Dillman that you might hear in the background right there. David is down at San Leon, down near Galveston, you know, and he's guided for trout for a long, long time. We're going to visit with David and get some fishing tips down on the coast. David, thank you, sir, for spending some time with us. Could not be better, buddy. I'm doing just fine. I would be better, though, if I was down at San Leon at Eagle Point Fishing Camp with you and heading out to catch some of those speckled trout. I'm looking forward to getting down there with you before very long and having some more fun, man. But the water, all the water that came down the Trinity, of course, discharges into the Gulf of Mexico, Trinity Bay. Has that impacted trout fishing? Have you had to change things up with all that fresh water coming in?
Yeah, we've had to make a little longer boat rides to find fishable water. The biggest problem is the wind. We haven't had any kind of consistency in our wind. One day it could be southeast, the next day we'd wake up and it would be northeast or north, northwest. So it's almost like a washing machine, especially the waters here around the fishing camp. So we're traveling east to find the best water that we can, which puts us pretty much in East Galveston Bay.
Okay. Salinity is really important in any saltwater fish. I know that, the right salinity. And I guess there's just been such an influx of fresh water. Is that it?
Yeah, there has been. I mean, a lot. Houston got it. You all get it. And it seems like you all are still getting it. And then eventually we get it. So it just hasn't quit for us yet.
Right. Folks, if you follow coastal fishing very much, and I know many of you do, and I know many of you have Galveston as a destination to go fishing, but, you know, the croaker fishing became very, very popular and is still very popular. In my opinion, it's the best way to consistently catch trout, speckled trout, for the average person. I think that's a true statement. But David was... Actually, you might say Guy David Dillman, wrote the book on using live croakers. David, I think that's a pretty true statement, too.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I've been told that. So,
well, you were there. I remember when you first started doing it. Using live croakers can be likened to folks fishing at Lake Texoma or Whitney or using live shad. It's about the same principle, you know?
Same principle. That's right. The same thing, correct.
Right. The reason, what's some of the reasons for, I guess, your rank and file fishermen, it just takes a lot of makes it easier for them to catch fish.
It makes
actually.
It easier, I'd say it makes it easier for the average person to catch, you know, some fish, especially speckled trout. The reason why they eat them is because the heat of the summer, they get lethargic, and instead of chasing shrimp around and trying to eat a whole bunch at one time, they get one good meal with one, you know, on one bite.
You bet. Folks, we're visiting with Guy David Dillman, and David is right now at the dock at Eagle Point Marina, so you may hear some enthusiastic fishermen in the background ready to head out, or some of them may be cleaning their catch. But, David, the thing is, right now, if you know the patterns down there, which you do, obviously, you can get in, even with the influx of fresh water, you can get in some good fishing. Are you mostly right now using shrimp at this early in the season, or have you switched to croakers?
No, I mean, I think probably it's, 40-40-20. Most of the fish right now are being caught on artificial and shrimp. And they are catching some fish, and we are catching a few fish on croakers. It just hasn't really kicked off yet. Probably the next couple of weeks it will all set stage. Our water temperature is still not really warm. We're not above 80 yet. In fact, this morning I registered 76.
Yeah, okay.
Know, degree water temperature.
Hadn't really got up there.
No, and a lot of it's due to the rainfall still coming down. So that rainwater is, you know, cooler than the water that's heated up by the sun.
Right, cooling the surface down.
Do this for us. I think a lot of people would glean some information. You know, live shrimp under a popping cork. Very, very, very effective for catching trout. Describe how that works. The top of the cork being dished out.
It's a concave cork, and some people put rattles in the stems. We use colored weights up underneath the popping cork with a fairly long, you know, 18-24 inch leader, and popping the cork just makes a sound on top of the water. And it gives a little bit of an attraction to the fish. Sometimes the fish will react to a hard pop. They'll want it hard. Other times, just a soft little twitch. And it's just trial and error. Once you start getting the hits, just keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly right. Very much like, a lot of people striper fish have learned to take just a fishing rod and swish the water big time under the boat. And white bass, stripers, they react to the sound. Kind of the same principle when you're fishing a popping cork with live shrimp, isn't it? I mean, they're reacting. They think something's being eaten up on the surface.
Yeah, it just draws attention.
Right.
That's all. They're curious, and they come and see, you know.
Well, the pattern right now, David, is it schooling trout that you're after, you know?
Basically, that's what we try to do, right? But there's so many people. The problem with us right now is the pressure. So the schools are all kind of broken up. At times, you can really sit on them and catch them. And then other times, you have to drift, and every drift, you may catch three or four, turn back around and try to get back on the same drift. And that's been tough just because of the number of boats fishing in the same area.
Here's something that I'd like you to expound on a little bit, David. The smell of when a school of trout start feeding on, say, a shell, say shrimp, there's a slick. And you can spot a slick. I don't fish saltwater enough to be good at this, but you can, on most days, you can spot a slick. And that's the oil from the when those shrimp are getting crunched on.
Correct,
right?
It's going through their gill plates. Correct.
So that's indicative. And you know, I've fished with you in the past. You even said smell that. You can smell it. It does smell a bit like I don't know. I've heard it. The smell that of those shrimp being attacked, kind of like watermelon, right?
Watermelon, fresh cut grass. Yeah.
And that's something that you really couldn't teach or read in a book to learn.
You can show people them. I mean, a lot of times I go see and they go, "What are you doing?" I say, "We're going to fish that slick." "What slick?"
Yeah.
And then they kind of, it depends on how the sunlight hits it too. You know, I mean, I can see it regardless, but they can see it if the sunlight hits it a certain way. Then they kind of get in tune to what we're doing.
And it is, it's a sheen, really, on the water, and it's oil is what it is from those shrimp that's been crunched on. But little things like that, it's far, far different than fishing fresh water. Coastal fishing, and you know, it to me, it's just, it's like a chess game. There's so many variables involved. Tide, for one thing. Tide is, and you know, say you're fishing a shell reef, which is just a shell reef underwater, you know, a structure. Those trout, the reason they're there, like on an incoming tide, the trout will be stacked up down in the slack water on the far side of it, away from the incoming current, right? As a rule. And vice versa, I guess, on an outgoing.
Correct. And that's the rule, but the rule changes. And sometimes you just got to fish all areas, you know, try to, you know, if you start catching a couple fish and you think they're there, don't give up on it. Just try to pinpoint their location. And you can, you know, if you find them, you can catch them.
I guess a lot of those shell reefs that you fish, you know, who knows, underneath there may be a little, little concave, you know, little indentions or whatever.
And a lot of them are, and that's the key. There may be a little hump. There may be an indention, so those fish may be on the drop-off, they may be right off the edge of the reef, and they may be right on top of the shallow part of the reef. It's just, you just kind of got to, it's just, you know, you got to figure it out. I guess like bass tournament fishermen do, which I don't have a clue about, so.
Right.
Well, you've spent a lifetime down there. It is a whole different ball game, you know. The shrimp under the popping cork day in and day out. I mean, even throughout the summer, David, that's a lot of people stick right with that, don't
they? Yeah, and people catch them, and you can catch them year round.
And it's always amazed me fishing with someone that knows what they're doing, like yourself. You know, the top of that popping cork is indented, dished out, where when you pull it through the water, it gurgles and pops, thus the name popping cork, and the fish respond to it. But some days, like, you know, you've told me, if you really pop it hard, that's what it takes to bring the fish up and let them know something's going on up on the surface. But other days, you say, if you do it like that, you'll spook them. It's day to day, I guess.
Yeah, it can change day to day, correct.
There's been chapters in books written about such, you know, about how to fish a popping cork or, of course, live shrimp under a popping cork. How about jigs under a popping cork?
Yeah.
The old spec rig, if you will.
Gulps. Gulps have become really, really popular on the coast. And they fish them up underneath a popping cork.
Now, is that like a shrimp imitation?
Yeah, they're kind of like impregnated. They look like shrimp. They make different variations. But it's really become pretty popular for a lot of people. They'll fish a gulp up underneath a popping cork.
Yeah, you know, I know exactly what you're talking about, and I've recently caught some catfish as recently as yesterday they're coming in a little jar, the gulp. I could not find any worms. There's a good catfish hole close to where I live, channel cat. And I had a jar of those. They're actually look just like an earthworm, you know, but
right.
They're impregnated with that shell.
Yeah, and yeah. Now, do I like them to use them? No. They're pretty nasty, but they're tough, and they do catch fish.
You know exactly.
Well, I'm sure they're impregnated with the scent of an earthworm, and you're right. They're not the most pleasant. Exactly. Well, David, we are just about out of time here for our weekly outdoor show, and I want a lot of people come to Galveston. People are listening to us here on KETR all over North and Northeast Texas. So, folks, if you're going to Galveston to fish, David Dillman is. I want you to take the time to remember or jot it down. Eagle Point Fishing Camp. David, is the website EaglePointFishingCamp.com? Okay. EaglePointFishingCamp.com, right there at San Leon, from Houston going down to Galveston. It's about halfway or so. David, what's your website and a phone number where they could call you direct?
Spectacular Trout Adventures. But my website, SpectacularTrout.com, and my telephone number is 832-228-8012. You could also look me up on Facebook at Spectacular Trout Adventures. And then Eagle Point Fishing Camp also has a Facebook page.
Well, David, thanks for being with us. And I want to get you back throughout the summer and keep everybody tuned in on the fishing down at Galveston.
That would be great, Luke.
Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at KETR.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoke & Tex Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.